Hey Chip Chat listeners, this year we'll be broadcasting live Chip Chat episodes from Supercomputing 2011. Tune in to blogtalkradio.com/IntelChipChat on November 15th and 16th from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific Time. You can send us questions for any of the guests by registering on Blog Talk Radio or visiting our Twitter at IntelChipChat. Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today we've got David Tuohy in the studio. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you are GM of Intel Storage Group. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the Storage Group and its history and where it is today?
Yeah, so the Storage Group, originally we were focused on offload accelerators on cards to help take care of specific storage workloads. Typically it's called RAID. But as we've been improving the Intel CPU architecture, especially the Xeon, we found that people wanted to use our processors actually as the storage controller, basically the storage intelligence device. Storage array networks, storage area networks, sometimes those are SAN, and also network attached storage for files, which is NAS. And so since 2003, we took a very strong focus on bringing Intel architecture processors into those storage appliances, those boxes. We were 17% share back then. Last year, we exited at 70. But it's been a big adventure, and we're not stopping, and we're trying to get to 80% this year. We're putting in more technologies in our roadmap that can cover a wide spectrum of solutions.
How are you seeing enterprises planning and future-proofing for data growth, and do you see any particular trends in that area?
It's evolved into quite a few optimized usage models. In the enterprise. I mean, it originally started when the server just couldn't hold enough disks to handle the database. These databases just grew past the server. And so the history of storage, and still much of the business's storage, is in storage array networks. They built a specific subsystem area that can host all of that transaction processing data. It's a multi-billion dollar market, and there continues to be much innovation in that space. But the thing that's also growing for them is they're just their email and their files and everything else. And so the enterprises are, frankly, surprised, I think. They're always waking up every day and having to buy more storage than they had planned. They're looking for new technologies. Obviously, your data is probably the most key asset that every IT manager knows they have to protect. So they're trying to build their existing infrastructure to grow up, to scale up. And then they're looking at new approaches. Typically, we call it scale out, where each node is more independent and more modular. There's quite a lot of this. How do I add new and get a different way to scale while keeping my current business operation up and running going on in the enterprise?
Do you see that linking to what some of the web scale companies have been doing in terms of trying to keep storage closer to servers?
If you look at what's going on like in web scale or cloud or public data centers, some of them have been trying a very different approach. I'll call it scaled out distributed storage, where they're running their software right on the server, running the storage right on the server and distributing the storage across multiple servers in a very open source fashion. And so it's a huge scale out thing. Some of these guys added like 100 terabytes a week or a day sometimes to their backbone, because they have to store so much data. And so they need massive scale, much more than any enterprise has ever had to do. And this new approach is very good for their quality data. They're not so concerned about the latency or availability of every single transaction like a bank would be, but they need massive amounts of data. And so they're trying approaches where they store the data distributedly and across a large number of servers, and it's right there on the server. Other folks who have to do pictures like Facebook, they'll have a specific tier for hot and cold the data so that they can manage the cost of holding it, but still provide availability for people who want to see a recently loaded photo or an email versus something that's a year old or something, right? So they have this hierarchical way of storing data, and it's all very cool. It's very new.
Obviously, your team works on solid state, and I'm wondering where you see enterprise storage going in terms of solid state.
It's going to be a big deal. Non-volatile memory is a big deal for speed, but it's also, kind of a tiering opportunity. So you can actually use non-volatile memory at a system level to make total cost of ownership cheaper, because you can actually optimize your total cost by using hot data in the SSD and then buying, let's say, a little bit cheaper, usually slower disks, but it's not hot. HPC is a great example of their very latency sensitive, very bandwidth sensitive workload. And so the ability to have a caching tier close where you can keep your data you're working on right now is a big deal.
Does this mean that tape will finally exit the data center? Or
new technologies come in really quickly, but old technologies die very slowly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still the cheapest way to store the most data possible that you don't need to access.
Mm-hmm.
But people are starting to find out that old data isn't old anymore because they can learn stuff from it. So this whole concept of business intelligence, it's turning out to be that less and less data is now being thought of as old and you just have to store it for 50 years because that's compliant, right? It's starting to become like, well, let's go look at it and what can we learn from our data? That makes you want to have it more accessible.
Where is all this data coming from? And, you know, why is it all of a sudden emerging on the scene?
If you look at IDC, they have a study they publish called the Digital Universe, where they try to quant the amount of digital data created and project where it's going. In 2010, they said there were 800 exabytes, which is a 10 with 18 zeros after it. And it's projected to grow 44x over this next decade. So by 2020, they're projecting 35 zettabytes, which is a 10 with 21 zeros after it. So it's just a massive, massive amount of data. And some of it's called structured data. It's database data, transaction records organized in a very rigorous fashion. But the biggest growth is actually in unstructured data, which is files, and these are photos and Facebook, you know, things that go on Facebook and Google and movies. And it's growing at a 70% compound annual growth rate projected over the next 5 years, for example. I mean, it's stunning growth. Those two data sets combined are what's really driving enterprises and everybody to have to think about how they scale out their storage.
So you mentioned that customers looked at the accelerator products that we were offering to the marketplace and said, you know, we may have some broader uses of your silicon. What actual processors are in these machines today?
Yeah, generally it's our Xeon architecture. We spent a lot of effort architecting Xeon to be not just a great computer server for servers, but a data storage engine. We focus very much on energy efficiency, scalability, and data protection. We have specific technologies we put in Xeon. I'm going to get a little geeky here, but stuff like asynchronous DRAM refresh so that you can protect the data in DRAM in case you have a power disruption and dump it quickly to solve state, non-transparent bridging technology, which allows you to hot swap the two canisters that typically make up a node for storage and still keep the system running, into NVMe acceleration engine to offload certain I/O tasks for data movement. And we've been re-architecting the core of Xeon 2 to add more and more bandwidth for I/O. And that's really where our focus has been.
If people want to learn more about what your group is doing in terms of delivering building blocks for storage, where would they go?
www.intel.com/go/storage. If you look at that URL, you'll find us on intel.com, and we have a significant amount of content up there.
Well, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.